It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there are special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom over government force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. Thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday, producer Joe.
Happy Tuesday, Kim.
And it's going to be a beautiful day in Colorado today. So grateful for each and every one of these days. You know, Joe, somebody said that each day is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Had you ever heard that before?
You know, I have actually, and I've always really liked that one.
Yeah, me too. And it kind of brings us back to right here in front of us. Certainly, we want to learn from the past, look to the future, but embrace the moment today. And we will do that. And all of you do that out there as well. And we've got another great show planned for you today. So fasten your seatbelt. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity. Looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's their rights, their property, freedom, livelihood, opportunities, childhood, or their lives via force. And we know that force can be a weapon, but we're seeing it with policy and unpredictable and excessive taxation. And fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, the World Economic Forum's agenda, the globalist elite's agenda. This United Nations is then carrying the water for all that. This Colorado state legislature is just implementing all of that stuff as well. And it's under the approval of the governor, even though the governor is trying to make himself look libertarian. He's anything but. He knows what's happening here in Colorado. It's because he approves it, because his boards, his commissions, he controls the legislature. All of this terrible stuff that's happening in Colorado can go right to his feet. And we can see taking, again, people's property. If you can't control your property, you don't own your property. And so we see that happen with land use codes and zoning regulations, forest fees, conservation easements, national monument designations, and the list goes on and on and on. And we've got to roll that back. Yesterday, when Jeffrey Tucker was on the line, or on the show, he's with the Brownstone Institute, writes for the Epoch Times. I said to him, I believe that we are in the third founding of our country. And obviously the first founding was the Revolutionary War for liberty. But then the next question was about liberty as well. Could one man own another as property? And he can't. We can't. You can't have this vision of the Declaration that all men are created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and have one man be the property of another. But we fast forward it to now. And in a way, we're all the property of this big government because a lot of what we work to earn is taken from us via sales tax at the local level, the county level, state level. And so we're in this third founding, and it's an ideological founding. And that's why engaging in this battle of ideas every day and getting our brain around these issues is so important. So we're in a historic time. When I'm out and about and I see young people like Joe and families, people with little kids, that's why we fight. We fight in this ideological battle because something has been good has been given to us. And we must do everything that we can to pass it on to the next generation. And so that's why we do this show every every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. The first hour, if you're not an early morning person or if you miss part of it, it will rebroadcast the first hour in the 1 to 2 hour. The second hour of the show is broadcast 10 to 11 at night, and that is on all KLZ 560 platforms, which are KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ website, the KLZ app. Within 24 hours, we have the show summary, a written summary, which is great. Because some of us like to listen, some of us like to read, sometimes both. We have both at the website. And then once that podcast is posted, you can listen to that on the streaming services as well. Remember, if something's a good idea, you should not have to use force, coercion, any of those things to implement it. And on the show, we will focus on the issues, not the personalities. We'll talk about the people pushing the issues, but we want to stay focused and disciplined on that, because once we get over here in the personality fighting, we take our eye off the ball on what needs to be done here. And Colorado truly is at the tip of the spear. And stay tuned, Peter Bernegger, and I need to talk with him. It's been quite busy, and I know I owe many of you some emails and text messages, and you can re-ping me again on that as well, so it percolates to the top of the boxes there. But Peter, they ran the voter rolls against the November 5th election. The voter rolls for November 5th, and significant number of anomalies. I'm just going to say that. Peter emailed me yesterday, early yesterday morning. And so that lawsuit that we have with him, thank you to all of you that funded that. And then United Sovereign Americans is doing a lot of great work over there. So stay tuned, because all the work that we've did back in before the last election and got those lawsuits filed, something big is going to happen with that. So just stay tuned on that. Let's see. I want to say thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show. It is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy that fuels our lives and it fuels our hopes and dreams, powers our lives, and empowers us to change our own personal climate. And I'm very, very excited about things that are happening. I had reached out to my sponsors, Hooters Restaurants, the franchisees. And as I think many of you have seen, and many of you have let me know that on national, the national Hooters has filed for bankruptcy. But I love the spirit of these guys. They truly are American loving entrepreneurs. And Brian said, texted me, he said, I think that we may be able to make lemon out of lemonades here. So give Hooters some of your business when you're thinking about getting together with friends. They really have great specials Monday through Friday for lunch and for happy hour. And they've been really great sponsors of both the shows, the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories, for many, many years. And I love their spirit. And I know many of the staff over there, and it's a tough market out there right now for restaurants as it is. And then in Colorado, it's even tougher with just all the rules and regulations and taxes and all that. So be sure and give them some business. And great to go as well. And again, those five locations are Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Our word of the day, thank you, Yvonne. She is a linguist, and so I'm always learning something from her. And the word is nascent. It's N-A-S-C-E-N-T, or it could be come. And so it's an adjective. It could be coming into existence or emerging, commencing or in a process of development, beginning to exist or to grow, coming into being or evolving, being evolved or produced. I would say that that we are this third founding of America is nascent. So Yvonne, let me know how I did on that. And that is our word of the day is nascent, N-A-S-C-E-N-T. Your challenge is to use that in a sentence today so that you can impress your friends and family at your expanding vocabulary. The quote of the day is John Locke. He was born in 1632. He died in 1704. He was an English philosopher and physician, widely regarded as one of the most influential of the Enlightenment thinkers and commonly known as the father of liberalism. Now, mentioning liberalism, words are so important, and what we've seen is co-opting of words. So the radical activists, again, progressives, in a way, progress seems like a good thing, but we want to make sure we're progressing to good things. The progressivism of today is trying to progress us to socialism and communism, and everyday people do not thrive and prosper, or sometimes even live under that. So they had co-opted the word liberal or liberalism, when many times those that were co-opting it was pushing us towards that communism and socialism. So it's important that we reclaim these words. So John Locke was known as the father of liberalism. He's considered one of the first of the British empirists. He followed the traditions of Francis Bacon. He's important. He's known and regarding the social contract theory. His work greatly affected the development of epistemology and political philosophy, and his writings influenced Voltaire and Rousseau and many Scottish Enlightenment thinkers, as well as the American revolutionaries. His contributions to classic republicanism and liberal theory are reflected in the United States Declaration of Independence. And yesterday, we were talking about this voting law that is being, and I let me get the exact number, because we're really going to have to watch this. And this is bill that's been sponsored by Stephen Woodrow, who is really one of the most extreme down at the state legislature. And this bill, and I've really got to get my teeth into it after I get the email out for cut today. I did not get to that yesterday with everything that was going on. And this bill number is bill number 1225. And my friends, I would really recommend that you sit down and take a look at it as well, because this is really going to try to quiet our voices as far as at the voting box. And anyway, I was thinking about this, and this is what John Locke said. He said that I have no reason to suppose that he who would take away my liberty would not, when he had me in his power, would take away everything else. And that's why we here in Colorado, we've got to reclaim Colorado, and we really are in the fight of our lives on that. So the next thing, the bill for today is Senate Bill 25047, Enforcement of Federal Immigration Law. And obviously, this is a very important bill with the sanctuary status that we have had in Colorado. Colorado, Denver, the city that I love, has become dirty. It's become dangerous. And one of the reasons is because, again, of public policy. So the prime sponsors on this, hats off to them, is Senator Mark Baisley, Representative Max Brooks, Representative Chris Richardson. And it's Senate Bill 25047, and it's concerning reversing certain actions by the General Assembly related to measures intended to limit enforcement of federal immigration law. And so there are some bills down there at the House that are good bills, but the majority of them are not. And ding, 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 as of this morning, not even really, it'll just a little over a month and a half into this General Assembly, this legislative session, between the bills and the resolutions, we have 503 bills and resolutions that have been introduced down there. And it goes back to most of those want to take away our liberty. So this John Locke quote, I have no reason to suppose that he who would take away my liberty would not, when he had that me in his power, would take away everything else. And that's what's happening here in Colorado. And that's why we have to engage in this battle of ideas, and our sponsors help us do that. And one of those great sponsors is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And they know there are unknowns that can keep you up at night, but your insurance coverage should not be one of them. So reach out to the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855 to make a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Car thefts, hailstorms, and uninsured motorists are presenting unique insurance challenges for everyday hardworking Coloradans. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team knows that when you need to make an insurance claim, financial strength matters. State Farm consistently receives high marks for the company's financial condition and ability to pay claims. For that peace of mind, to know that you are working with a financially strong company, contact the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment to assess your insurance coverage. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Do you crave a mouth-watering steak or juicy hamburger? It's time to head over to Lavaca Meat Company and fire up the barbecue. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. Lavaca Meat Company is located in the historic Coors Building at the corner of Main and Nevada in downtown Littleton. Lavaca cuts of meat are aged 21 days, which provides one of the best steaks you have ever tasted. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit Lavaca in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company. Only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And you want to do something exciting on March 15th. This is Paula Sarles, the president of the USMC Memorial Foundation, turns 76. So she's going to climb 426 steps out at Red Rocks and honoring the Marines, our Iwo Jima veterans and their birthdays, and her birthday. And so decide how much you want to pledge towards her Celebrate the Climb, and you can make that pledge over at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And what a good thing to do. So Kevin Lundberg is on the line. It is Tuesday. And Kevin Lundberg, a lot is happening in our state, in our country. And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's great being with you always, even though sometimes our subject matter isn't that pleasant. But you certainly are, and I know most of the listeners out there are just great folks trying to get the right things done as well. So let's charge forward.
Well, let's do it. Now, I know that you are watching just basically all of the legislation with Bill Track 50, which is what we use for the Colorado Union of Taxpayers when we're doing our work. That so that will include the resolutions. So, Kevin, as of this morning, ding, 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 we have a total of bills and resolutions of 503 that have been introduced down at the State House. This is not legislating. This is irresponsible. There's no way they can know all the stuff that they're voting on and putting into law. And and hats off to these Republicans that are working to try to push back and get rid of some of this stuff. But that it's out of control, Kevin. That's all I can say.
Well, the amount of legislation has been out of control for a long time in many respects, particularly when you've got a very aggressive, radical majority that's trying to fundamentally change a whole lot of things here in the state of Colorado. You know, you started this by saying that I keep track of all the legislation. No, I try to keep track of all the legislation, but it is impossible. You know, I mean, I do go through every bill. I start with the bill title, and I go down to the sponsors, figure out, okay, you know, what's my level of confidence in whoever's sponsoring this. And then I read the summary, and then if it looks like some flags pop up, either good ones or bad ones, I'll dig down into the text itself and start trying to unpack this. But there are so many things that are out there that are sleepers, in a sense. I mean,
yes.
Hopefully we might get into this a little bit later on, but you know, we're all most of us who've been following this are aware of Senate Bill 3, the semi-automatic weapon ban, essentially. But did you know that there are 7 other anti-gun bills out there?
Thank you for mentioning that. And before we move on, Kevin, I want to say thank you to my fellow CUT board members, because they are doing what you're just describing. We are looking at this legislation, and we're all volunteers on this, and they're stepping up to review bills, take positions. So I want to say thank you to Steve Dorman, Greg Golianski, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Wendy Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, Mary Jansen, Dave Evans, Corey Onozorg, Paula Beard, and Ray Beard. And I want to say thank you, because they're doing all this great work, and we'd love to have you join us. It's only $25. But so what we've done here is I'd asked the creator of Bill Track 50 to just flag some specific words regarding legislation. And there are, I know, at least 7 bad ones, but there's 21 pieces of legislation that have the word firearm in them. So we're trying to keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good example. I identified 8 that I believe we really need to focus on, but you're right. Every time, if it's a good bill, you know, it can say something about honoring the Second Amendment, or better yet, honoring this Colorado Constitution that says the right to bear arms shall not be questioned. But yeah, more often than not, what they're doing is they're folding in, well, you can't do this, can't do that. There's one bill, House Bill 1225, that actually sets up a law against firearms, toy guns, and anything that might look like a gun, because there are a lot of personal defense weapons that are not lethal weapons. They you know, they'll fire some pepper spray or something like that, mm-hmm. which is a very prudent thing for a lot of people to have in a lot of places here in Colorado. But this one will make it illegal if you're participating in political discourse.
Well, that 1225.
And that's how it makes it. Here's what it does: is it says anytime you're engaging in let me just find this so that I can be precise.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. It's the Freedom from Intimidation in Elections Act.
Yeah, which actually sounds like it might be a good idea if there are really, you know, some bad actors out there trying to intimidate somebody, and force them to vote one way or the other. But this defines it in terms of if you have what looks like might be a gun, a toy gun, or anything that, you know, that somebody might construe that, they can... somebody can sue you in civil court over intimidation because you simply have it present that they can see. And that's so contrary to the Colorado Constitution that talks about the right to bear arms shall not be questioned. And actually, if you read on a little bit more into the Constitution, it says, but this doesn't mean that you can carry concealed. Now, remember, in 1876, when they wrote the Constitution, it was the bad guys who put their gun in the vest, you know, and everybody else had it out on their hip. And that was placed, in the Colorado Constitution to say, well, this is appropriate. But now, an example of how they're coming down with terrible laws that you can't quite figure out until you dig a lot deeper. Or there's another one that says, this one is, and I don't have the number right in front of me, forget. No, it's Senate Bill 129, I think it is.
Okay.
That says, it says that hospitals are to honor the religious values, we'll say, of their people working with people in emergency rooms. Okay, it sounds good. It says legally. It's 130. Senate Bill 130.
Okay.
It says sincerely held religious beliefs are to be honored for healthcare providers in emergency rooms. Now that sounds like maybe a good thing, but
Right. Then
it goes on to say that the facility is required to have somebody available who doesn't have any concerns with, let's say, abortion or gender transition mutilation services. So it's really a sideways of either the hospital has to have both a pro-life doc and a doc who couldn't care less about pro-life in their emergency room or available in there, or probably the simpler way is just to make sure that the pro-life medical people aren't hired for that position.
Kevin, as you're saying this, I have said this, and what we're seeing, Colorado, I really think is at the tip of the spear of all of this stuff. And when people have read the blueprint, and that was how did Colorado turn from red to blue? And they focused on, and the real architect behind this was Al Yates, who had been, I think the title was chancellor up at CSU. What was it?
Yeah, he was actually called the president of CSU.
Okay, thank you.
And he would come to the Republican breakfast club meetings and act like a real reasonable guy who was just trying to get along with everybody. But you're right. He became the architect in the blueprint of shifting, throwing this state the exact opposite direction of any conservative or traditional values.
So, Kevin, what I think happened with that, because I was not involved politically, and that's why I love having you on with all of this history that's been happening, because I didn't really start to even learn and pay attention till about 2011. I could feel something wasn't right, but I didn't really start to understand it. But so here Al Yates puts together, he's the architect of this, and then he goes to these four very wealthy people, Jared Polis, Pat Stryker, Rhett Bridges, who his son Jeff is in the state Senate, and Tim Gill. And so many people have thought it was those four, but it was really Al Yates. I had not heard this about Al Yates. So this had been his strategy then. Come in, look reasonable. They start to, and also that was a time where we put in term limits. And I know that many on the Republicans like the idea of term limits. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about it. Let's do that, because you and I have never had the conversation about term limits. So I want to know what you have to say about it, because I think that that was another strategy that opened up the opportunity in these elections then to get out some people that might have been really great conservatives, and what that happened to the electorate. So we're going to continue this conversation with Kevin Lundberg. He's a former state senator. You can find him at the Kevin Lundberg, that's LUNDBER.com. And his Lundberg report that comes out every Saturday is so important. Every Monday morning, he has a great call with people across Colorado. So stay tuned. We get to do this because of our sponsors, and for anything regarding residential real estate, buying a home, selling a home, a new build, reach out to Karen Levine.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market. Whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties, Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And we talk about news, politics, and opinion on the show on a regular basis. But the Center for American Values is non-political. It's nonpartisan. They're just focusing on really these foundational principles that can unite us. And that's honor, integrity, and patriotism. And patriotism is not bravado about your country. It's love of your country. And so the things that they do regarding honoring our Medal of Honor recipients, their great educational programs, are all focused on that. And those things, honor, integrity, and patriotism, are values that can unite us. So be sure and check out all their great work by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. Kevin Lundberg, you and I never know for sure where we're going to go on this discussion, and you've hit something with me, and that is the history of what has happened, how Colorado has turned to, we're really seeing movement towards socialism and communism. And the quote that I gave at the beginning of the show from John Locke, he said, "I have no reason to suppose that he who would take away my liberty would not, when he had me in his power, would take away everything else." You mentioned House Bill 1225 regarding having this thing about firearms in there. But I was looking at this, and basically what it's saying is you can't question anything regarding our elections. And one of our listeners, as I was talking about it yesterday, said that it is really the prevention to inspect and discover and review our elections. And if we can't do that, it goes directly to what Locke has said. Then you will take everything else from me, is for what I see, Kevin.
Well, there are a whole lot of aspects to 1225. What I spotted was the banning of any means of self-protection or self-defense for anyone who's engaging in any, because it's so open-ended. You know, right now we have a law against carrying into a polling booth, concealed carry, and I think that makes, anytime you make a gun-free zone, you make a danger zone, a place where people go in and they can't defend themselves if some bad guy shows up and wants to make trouble. But this expands it out to anytime you're trying to promote any candidate or any other political idea, if it says that you cannot carry openly, which is guaranteed in the Constitution, the Colorado Constitution, but it says anybody, and it doesn't prohibit it. It simply says that if anybody feels intimidated mm-hmm. by that action, that they can sue you, and that the state of Colorado can sue you as well. you know, so you can be drug into civil court. And in essence, it says that, you know, if you want to participate in the political process, you cannot exercise your Second Amendment and constitutionally guaranteed rights for self-defense in the state of Colorado. It makes no sense. And, you know, you were talking about other aspects of it. It is a complicated bill. And I am very concerned with how our elections are conducted, but not from the standpoint of citizens shouldn't be able to question it or shouldn't be able to participate in it. Quite the opposite. It's all locked up in this big super secret system where you are prevented, and even county clerks are prevented from asking questions about how the systems work. This is just totally opposite of actual transparency in elections. It's a don't you dare look or we'll take you to court over it and you will be the loser.
So we are going to keep an eye on this, but I want to go back to this Al Yates thing then, because this is all connected. And so Al Yates, he was the architect of the blueprint. And you said that when he would come to Republican breakfast and would come across as very reasonable, I guess might be one of the words that you might say. So tell me a little bit more about him. This is so interesting.
Maybe just a little bit of a beginning point here in that Bob Schaefer, when he was in Congress, started what was called the Republican Breakfast Club. And today I'm continue that online, over a Zoom format. But it was held up in Fort Collins. And, of course, CSU is the main campus is up there. And back then it was the campus. I don't think they'd expanded to other areas at that time. And Al Yates was the president of the school, and Bob would invite him to come in occasionally and talk on issues. And we all got this sense that he was sort of a moderate. You know, he said, well, I'm not a Republican, but I'm not really a Democrat either. I'm just, you know, an active, engaged citizen. And we would, you know, you'd kind of walk away thinking, oh, that guy's okay. You know, he's running a college, and there are some questions about how our state schools are operated, but at least we're in good hands up there. And that was the impression you got. But you're right. When the blueprint came out and it unveiled all of the different players, he wasn't one of the big funders. You know, those other four that you mentioned, Polis and Stryker and Gill and Bridges were the ones who put up the cash. And I really point to them as having directed the real reason. But they hired Al Yates to be the mastermind behind it on all the structural elements. And apparently proved to be pretty successful with that because it was a takeover of the system in Colorado. Now, it took millions and millions of dollars, which they were, you know, very free to pour in. And really, I point to Polis and Gill as being the guys who really wanted to they wanted to upturn the whole concept of the family, and they've been very successful at that in many, many ways. But Yates was one of them, and of course there are cast of thousands really that they funded essentially, and they changed the whole concept as to on a lot of basic fundamental issues with very shrewd marketing and management of you know, people at several levels. They would hire protesters at conservative events. I have examples of that I'd give you, but we only have so much time on the radio, you know.
Well, that is even occurring now. I was talking with a friend of mine that in their county, their Republican, they were just having their regular meeting, and yesterday there were protesters outside, and that's one of the things that's been interesting to me regarding Trump too and the administration. They acted so quickly that it's really taken about 4 weeks for those paid protesters to be out in the street, and by that time, a lot of light has been shed on what has been going on. And so you see these protesters that are out in the street, and I'm looking at them. I'm like, oh, so you are protesting for waste, fraud, and abuse in our government. And Trump, too, and Doge is uncovering amazing stuff. But let's go back so that people understand.
Wait. Okay. Before you go any further, I think I was at that meeting, or I was at one meeting last night up in Larimer County. The GOP executive board met. And, yeah, we had about a dozen people that are holding up signs and telling us how terrible Trump is, and how they were so afraid for themselves, and it was just, and I really think of that in terms of yes, that's how the left has managed to just twist the facts of the matter of how our government is functioning, so it's upside down. I mean, most of the complaints they were making, I'm thinking, well, where were you 4 years ago when Biden was put in place? If you think that Trump is somehow dictatorial, well, you know, I mean, Biden just blew that out of the map, off the map. But yeah.
Well, that was the meeting that I was referring to. And so let's just connect this dot for people then. We have this House Bill 1225 regarding intimidation in our elections or in canvassing and all that. So here you have the Larimer County Executive Committee Republicans meeting, and you've got protesters outside that are trying to intimidate you. So it's like the intimidators are the ones that are trying to put in laws to prevent intimidation, but they are the intimidators. It's important that people understand that, Kevin.
Oh yeah. And this is, I've never seen this, you know, at this level. It actually, I think there's something remarkable. I don't know if these people were paid to do it or just encouraged to do it, but I've seen examples in the past where I know that they were, you know, that there's some groups on the left that put together these artificial, you know, public protests that were really well orchestrated. This one wouldn't surprise me if there was some, you know, some encouragement given to some of these folks, but they were more than outside. They came into the meeting. Well, that's because these meetings are public. We allow, you know, generally it's activists within the party that come and say, hey, we have public comment. And several of the protesters gave their public comment. Now, they handled themselves in a reasonable fashion, so we simply listened. But the arguments they made were just totally off the wall. It again, time doesn't allow to go into detail, but this is a new thing that I've never seen before. You talk about the history. Well, I have no recollection of the left coming and, you know, trying to, I don't want to say disrupt, but trying to push their agenda in our, you know, monthly board meeting where we're talking about, you know, who's been appointed as a precinct committee person and what fundraising plans we have and, you know, what the budget looks like and all those, you know, technical things like that. And they did. There was one lady in particular. She was handling herself okay, except for the fact that anytime anything came up, she'd raise her hand and try to talk when she really wasn't appropriate. It was time for the board to deal with. And you know, we finally had to say, look, we've had the public comment, we've given you your time. Now we've got to conduct our business. And they finally got up and left. But not after a very long time, and it was a very different experience than we're used to, believe me.
Well, and not in a way, I feel that's a form of intimidation because most people do not like conflict. They feel uncomfortable. They kind of want to stay away from that. And I think the radical activist extremists know that. So if they can disrupt things, and what is the opposite of order? It's chaos. So if they can create chaos, people are not comfortable with that. And it is a form of intimidation, and we need to understand that and stand up against it.
You are absolutely correct on that. And yes, they were trying to push us off kilter so we couldn't get our business done. And you know, hats off to our brand new chairman, Sandra Auste, who conducted it in a very reasonable fashion. But yes, this is much of what has occurred. And now we honored their right for free speech, you know, which kind of reminds me of what J.D. Vance was talking to those European leaders about recently. You know, we didn't say we won't hear this. No, we heard it. Yet we had to, at a certain point, say, but we've got business to do here. Right. So now we need to move on. And I'm going to leave it with this, though. I believe that it shows that there's more discussion and focus on what we're doing at the ground level in politics here in Colorado. I think the left realizes that the people are not with them anymore, you know, and when they go down these absurd roads of you know, banning firearms anywhere, essentially, which is what 1225 does, or forcing child mutilation and men and women sports activities here in Colorado, they're losing their arguments. And almost looks like a sign of desperation on my part. But we on the conservative side need to step up and say, no, let's reason with you and let's move forward and let's try to build this nation up in the right way and stop tearing it down, which is essentially what Biden was doing and his cronies. And, you know, these people, knowing or unknowingly, are begging that we continue down this road of destruction.
Excellent point, Kevin Lundberg. So we're going to continue this discussion. And I'm learning so much, as always, from Kevin Lundberg. You need to check out his website. That's Kevin Lundberg, LUNDBERG.com. And I am blessed to work with amazing people. And another group is Boson Law and John Boson.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Boson Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help. Boson Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Boson Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Boson Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range is excited to announce its new partnership and on-site training opportunity coming soon. Training in firearm safety for in-home or self-defense is difficult to do in a practical way. But Franktown, in partnership with Colorado CQB, is opening an indoor 360-degree shoot house that will bring you closer to reality than anything you've ever seen. Practice interactive scenarios for defense to ensure you and your family are safe, and you can shoot confidently. You'll benefit from experienced staff and trainers, including law enforcement and military backgrounds. Franktown's new shoot house opens in February, and they invite the public to come out to talk to them about it now and be ready for the grand opening. For safe and simulated training opportunities open to all levels of experience, come to Franktown Firearms, where friends are made. Learn more about Franktown Firearms on the KLZRadio.com advertisers page, where you can ask any questions you might have.
Yeah. And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. I'm talking with Kevin Lundberg, and be sure and check out his website, KevinLundberg.com, and the Lundberg Report that comes out every Saturday. An enormous amount of work is put into that. Kevin Lundberg, we ended up talking about the blueprint, how Colorado turned blue. And Al Yates, who was the president of CSU, and CSU has really lurched generally to the far left as far as a university. I used to think it was more conservative than CU, and I'm not sure that it is. I think it might be more progressive than CU, and that's taken some work to have a parent that has a couple of Rammies to talk about that. But so this is what I see, and you were there, but back late 90, in the 90s, they're putting this together, this blueprint, and they're going out, they're appearing reasonable, but yet I think they're training and funding all these different small organizations to look like grassroots, to get involved in elections, and then we have term limits, whereas we might have conservatives that were in the state house and the state senate, and they're termed out. So now you don't know the two candidates that much, and people are busy, and so you're starting to see maybe somebody that's moving a little bit more to the left, they get elected, maybe push a few things regarding election law, get over to 2013 then after these elections and put in mail-in ballots, then you don't clean up the voter rolls. And it just has been this long, long plan. And then pretty soon you get to a point where we have open primaries. People are not that informed. Everybody's getting a ballot. And they realized if they could win the elections of the most populous counties, they could control the state. That's where we are. Do you think my dot connecting is correct?
Well,
and you can say no. That's okay.
I'm going to challenge you on one point. I think you definitely okay. have the general flow of it together very well. In terms of term limits, I believe that cuts both ways. And I was term limited. I actually support term limits. And here's why. Because term limits does encourage the citizen legislator rather than the career legislator. Colorado is one of those states that has a part-time legislature. And this means that you actually have more people coming in who have other life experiences and have to continue some of those careers and the like. I saw a study years ago on the economic vitality of states that have full-time legislatures as opposed to part-time. And the part-time legislatures have the healthiest economy, largely because they're the ones that don't spend all their time coming up with new laws and regulations and, you know, plans from the top down. Anyway, I support term limits. I probably wouldn't have been in the legislature had it not been for term limits, because in my case, there was a very radical, we found out, I mean, he spoke in different terms, but a Democrat who was in a Senate seat that had there not been term limits, he might have continued on and on and on in a relatively conservative district. But when he was termed out and through some other mechanisms, I ended up in that seat eventually. So I think it cuts both ways there. And in Congress,
okay,
I definitely would support term limits because it gets so ingrown with the, you know, the career guys. I don't think we have to make too many arguments to agree on the fact that Congress needs some real changes, and I believe term limits would help. But everything else you say, I absolutely agree with, because they, meaning the hard left, have been playing the long game for decades. There was actually a change in the campaign finance laws back in 2000, I believe it was. And I heard rumor, I don't know this for a fact, but I heard rumor that Polis was one of those that was promoting these strict campaign finance limits, which really hamstrung the political parties so that they no longer had the ability to engage in the process because of their funding limitations. And this enabled the other players to come in. You know, you can't stop money from pouring into elections, but if you put rules and regulations on what candidates and what parties can take, that money just goes underground and it comes out, you know, through 527s or the whole thing that's described in the blueprint. That's all much of a result of campaign finance limitations.
Well, and we have just 1 minute left. And to that point, though, at least from what I've learned, is there's all these limits regarding financing campaigns by individuals and the limits on all that here in Colorado, and they're pretty low. So that makes it very difficult for example, grassroots candidates to get enough money to really run a campaign. But a candidate can self-fund. So you have rich guy Jared Polis, and he can put all the money in his campaign that he wants.
Right.
I know, I'm throwing that out there. 30 seconds. And Holly, I want to let Holly know that Kevin and I will talk about your question next week. 30 seconds, Kevin. It feels like I just said welcome, and now I'm saying goodbye.
Well, there's so much to be covered in all of this. People need to stay tuned. We're about, you know, nearly halfway through the legislative session, and just like the years past, they're radical changes that are being forced on the people of Colorado. So come back next week. We'll talk more.
Absolutely. That's
and
Kevin Lundberg, that website.
Next hour, too. I'm sure you've got great.
It's going to be super interesting as well. And Kevin Lundberg, thank you. We will talk next week. Our quote for the end of the show is from John Locke, who said this: all mankind being all equal and independent, no one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions. And that's John Locke from so many years ago. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And stay tuned for hour number two.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You are each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today's strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday, producer Joe.
Happy Tuesday, Kim.
And big first hour. And one of our listeners, let's see if I get to the text line, said, great synopsis on how the left took over Colorado. Yes, we're going to continue that. And I love it that Kevin Lundberg has so much history, because I learn what's going on. And he was down at the state legislature. So stay tuned. He's on every Tuesday during this legislative session. Check out the website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. And the recaps, the podcasts of the shows are there. You can sign up for our weekly email newsletter, which that goes out on Sundays. That way you have first look at who all of our guests are going to be, and all of our upcoming essays for the week. So check that out. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice on an independent station, searching for truth and clarity on these issues. Remember, if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force it. And we look at these through the litmus test of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. You can hear the show 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. And the first hour is rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Second hour is rebroadcast 10 to 11 at night. And that is on all KLZ 560 platforms, KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ website, the KLZ app. We have the show recaps on my website, KimMunson.com, with a written summary, also with the podcast. And then those podcasts can also be heard at Spotify, iTunes, and all of those streaming services. So be sure and check all that out. Our quote of the day, I've just been ruminating on that on a regular basis this morning. It's so amazing, and we're seeing this here in Colorado. It's John Locke. He was born in 1632, died in 1704, and he was really influenced our founders. Now I'm trying to think what Brad said. He's got something. I've got to find that out about our founders. It's really cool. It's something like the group of worthies or something. I'll get that from Brad. But anyway, this is the quote from John Locke. He said, "I have no reason to suppose that he who would take away my liberty would not, when he had me in his power, take away everything else that is happening right now at this Colorado state legislature with the radical activists that are in control and this Colorado governor." That's why we are engaged in this battle of ideas on a regular basis. And this battle of ideas is nascent. Nascent. Is that right, Yvonne? Let me know. NASCENT. She's the one that gave me the word. It's coming into existence or emerging. Number two, commencing or in the process of development, beginning to exist or to grow, coming into being. And number three, evolving, becoming involved or produced. And this third founding is nascent, I guess. So anyway, work on this, my friends. I'm working on it to impress our friends and family with our emerging, our nascent expanded vocabulary. So how's that as well? Our bill of the day, Senate Bill 25047, is a good bill, and it is, let me get over here, it is sponsored. I've got too many bills up here now, my friends. And so it is sponsored. Hang here, because I want to get this all up. Here we go. Senate Bill 25047, enforcement of federal immigration law concerning reversing certain actions by the General Assembly related to measures intended to limit enforcement of federal immigration law. And so this is to start to reclaim our state back. And those prime sponsors on that are all Republicans. Surprise, surprise. And that is Senator Mark Baisley, Representative Max Brooks, and Representative Chris Richardson. And so that is our bill of the day, Senate Bill 25047. And let's see here. I wanted to talk with John Boson. Boson Law is a great sponsor of the show. And they are trial attorneys, and they can help you if you've been injured or if you are wanting to apply for Social Security disability. And they're real pros at this. You see so many different firms out there that are advertised. You want to make sure that you are working with someone that really cares about you instead of just settling or whatever. And so that's why I'm so pleased to have John Boson and Boson Law as a sponsor. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
So question, if somebody's been involved in a motor vehicle accident that was caused by another driver, what are some of the basic things that people should know when that happens?
Well, first and foremost, you get hit by another driver, it's not your fault. Call the police. Call the sheriff. Call law enforcement to come out and, very importantly, make a determination of fault. And I've brought this up in the past. I mean, people who cause accidents will sometimes change their story after the fact, and that can be a real problem if you've been involved in an accident and it wasn't your fault. So you can eliminate that entire problem by simply calling the authorities and having someone come out, make a determination of fault, cite the other driver, because liability is the first determinant factor in whether or not I've got a case that I can pursue on behalf of someone and help them. So that's number one. Number two, and it really depends on where the accident happens, but if it happens, there are other drivers around, drivers come to check up on you, even with the police officer coming to make a determination, there can be some questions about who was at fault. So if someone checks on you after an accident, if you're able, ask them to please give you their business card or their name and number, so if necessary, you can contact them down the road. And then, again, there's so many steps, but you want to get the other driver's information, exchange insurance. If you've got an uncooperative driver, they don't want to wait until the police get there. Again, if you're able, take pictures. Get a license plate. Mm-hmm. Take a picture of the car. Take a picture of the individual if you have that opportunity. These things all deal with liability. The most important thing, the thing I'm concerned about the most, is my client's health. And so if someone is involved in an accident, they need to get checked out. Even if they feel okay after the accident, because adrenaline hides a lot of symptoms, I encourage folks, go to urgent care. Get in and see a doctor. Tell them what happened. Let them check you out. Report every symptom, anything that doesn't feel right, so that your health, first and foremost, is going to be taken care of. Those are initial steps, and I, you know, there's so many more. The step I want people to take as soon after an accident as they're able is to give me a call so I can advise them of additional important steps, how to deal with in the insurance company, steps to follow through to make sure, again, their health is going to be first and foremost. And with that phone call, I will give them all of that advice.
So, John Boson, I've shared with you a few years ago, I was involved in a fender bender. A guy ran into me, and I'll just make a quick comment. He had State Farm insurance, and he admitted guilt, or not guilt, fault, I should say that. And, oh my gosh, they were so great to work with. And but my adrenaline, this was just a little fender bender. My adrenaline was on, you know, just totally hyped up. And you can see how you could make decisions that could affect you down the road. So he admitted that it was his fault. We exchanged information. And I was really blessed to work with somebody very reputable. But I think you mentioned maybe a few weeks ago that people had exchanged information. The other person had admitted fault, or somebody told me this story, mm-hmm. but that didn't really verify, couldn't read the writing on the exchanging of yes. information. Mm-hmm. And yep. that was a real problem. So people, and that's why I think these calls that we have with you every week start to inform people, remember to do this, remember to do that. It's just like training in the military. That way, if something happens, they know what they're doing. But have the wherewithal to make sure that take their insurance card, take a picture of their driver's license, maybe have them write down their contact information so that you have multiple ways that you know that you've contacted them. And then the other thing is I did have the wherewithal, probably because you and I talked, is that I took pictures, and that was super helpful as well.
Yeah, all those things help, and life's not perfect, and you may miss something, but if you do a bunch of those things, you're probably going to be okay. can't guarantee anything, but you're probably going to be okay. And it was you and I when we spoke, and the person I spoke to took a picture of the driver's license of the driver that hit her, but it was blurry. You could not identify or document anything. So, you know, if you're going to take pictures, try to make sure those pictures are clear and you can pull them up and you can see things. Problem is, you're involved in an accident, and some folks suffer concussions, and so you're not thinking right. And so, you know, if you can remember to call 911 and then, you know, wait until the police get there. If the other driver is not going to wait, you know, then you got to do what you can to take pictures. Hopefully someone else is on the scene that can do some of that stuff for the injured driver, too. We've been fortunate, had folks have bad situations, and somebody else steps up and you know, documented things, took pictures, got a video. But if you're able, your first step, call the police so they can help make that determination. Also make sure that the person, if the officers are doing what they should be doing, get them to the hospital, get them to see a doctor so that, you know, we're not going to have a more tragic story.
Okay. And what's the best way for people to reach you, John Boson, at Boson Law?
To call us at our main number, 303-999-9999.
That's 303-999-9999, right?
All nines. That's
okay.
It, Kim.
John Boson, I always learn so much. We'll talk again next week.
Have a great rest of your show. Take care.
Okay. And I mentioned State Farm when a guy ran into me. He had State Farm Insurance, and they were just such pros to work with. And so that's why I'm really pleased that Roger Mangan and his State Farm Insurance team are sponsors of the show. And they might be able to save you some money if you bundle your insurance coverage together. You won't know unless you call them. So give them a call at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
It seems like we are getting squeezed everywhere. Inflation, high taxes, at the gas pump. Where can you save money? Well, when you bundle your insurance coverage with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, you may save money on your insurance premiums. The Roger Mangan Team will help you with a personalized plan to cover all your insurance needs for your home, auto, boat, and renter's coverage. For a complimentary appointment, call the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855. That number again is 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Team is there.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I want to say thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show. It is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy that allows us to thrive and prosper, that we can power our lives, fuel our hopes and dreams, and it empowers us to change our own personal climates, that we can be warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and all that's under attack. The radical activists don't want everyday people to thrive and prosper. And so that whole industry has been under attack, and it's attacking really the American ideal. So that's why it is so important that we have these conversations. So we're changing it up a little bit regarding some of the things that we talk about. I talk about our America's Veteran stories and really address a lot of things. And in fact, I had interviewed John Chapman's sister regarding he's a Medal of Honor recipient. And it's a fascinating story. And Tom Tarver is a regular listener, concerned citizen, and he's brought to my attention something that is really of great concern regarding John Chapman. So, Tom Tarver, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
It's good to have you, Tom. And you and I both have a heart for our military. And I think before we get into it, you've got an event that's going to be coming up this summer that is just really a fantastic organization and a fantastic event. So tell us just a little bit about that.
Kim, thank you very much. So this will be our sixth annual Colorado Celebrity Classic Dinner Show in Colorado Springs to kick off the Pikes Peak or Bus Rodeo. And we do a fundraiser there in honor of TAPS, the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. So the charity looks after family members after they've passed over in service to the country. And TAPS is there to help their family and their children on their journey with counseling, good grief camps, mentors, just a litany of services that will help people know that there's a tomorrow for them. And so every year we kick off the Pikes Peak or Bus Rodeo, and this year we do a great show. We have a songwriter show format with songwriters coming in from Nashville. And last year, of course, you were there and you saw the Castellos with Frank Myers and Brett Jones, the songwriters from Nashville, and they put on a great show. The Coors Cowboy Club comes up from Amarillo. Pete Coors is here every year to serve sliced prime rib to 500 people. And we raise a lot of money for a great charity. It's a great evening. And this year, the Nashville legend Daryl Worley is coming to perform for us, along with Billy Montana and Rob Crosby, two great songwriters out of Nashville, with Jimmy Nichols, one of the legendary people from Nashville. So we do an intimate dinner show. It's a great time. I know you were there last year, and we're looking forward to it. We're announcing our release today. So you'll be seeing emails come out on that. If people want to take a look at what we do down there and join us over the 4th of July weekend, you go to taps.org/Colorado, and you can click on the Colorado Springs Dinner Show event and sign up, and we'd love to have you.
Okay, well, yes, we'll keep people informed on all of this. And the Castellos, it's three sisters, absolutely gorgeous. And they are probably one of the up-and-coming groups out of Nashville. And so it was really a treat to get to see them before they probably have become really famous, I think, Tom Tarver.
Yeah, they're touring with Thomas Rhett right now, so they're on their way. And it's great for us to bring in these different venues or different levels of talent and watch them grow. We've had a lot of legendary people, and to see up-and-comers come in, we're going to be doing more of that in the future as well. And yeah, they were a great show, and they've actually said that they would return, so we may look to having them back in the future.
Okay. Well, very good. So let's set this up regarding what you really wanted to talk about, and that is John Chapman. And it's been a real journey, Tom Tarver, for me to learn about the Medal of Honor. I knew the Medal of Honor was special, and my journey with America's Veteran Stories, I went to Normandy in 2016 with a group that accompanied four D-Day veterans back to Normandy for the 72nd anniversary of the D-Day landings. My four guys, they've all passed on now, but we have these great interviews with them, and I realized that we need to know all these stories. And so I got connected somehow, maybe it was even you, regarding John Chapman and his story, and interviewed his sister, Lori Chapman, for America's Veteran Stories. And if people want the link to that, I've got that. We don't have our America's Veteran Stories as where we want it exactly, because I'm an independent, and resources, all that stuff. But we have the interview with her. And it's a riveting story. And I think I got my wires crossed regarding that clip that you sent over. So do you want to play a little bit of that? To do all 8 minutes, it would be difficult. Do you want to do a little bit at a time? And we can go to break and come back and be a little bit more organized on that. How would you like to do that? And I apologize to everybody that I didn't have that.
And Kim, that's quite all right, because it's an 8 minute, 49 second clip. And it basically, it kind of sheds light on kind of a travesty of an Air Force combat controller that was caught up in the political machine of the Navy, of the Naval Defense Department, and their incessant need to make sure that the Navy SEALs are predominant in all situations, where John Chapman is the true hero of what happened to Tucker Gar. He was left behind. The Navy covered it up for 15 years, and then after the IR Predator footage came out and the signal reps were put together, which was the communications between the guys, they were able to identify the dots on the snow, watch the firefight. It's the first Medal of Honor that's ever been recorded live. And you can see that the statements that were put out by the Naval Defense Department and Brett Sobieski, the other Medal of Honor winner, Navy SEAL, that didn't really perform some of those things that they were talking about, or that he testified that he did, didn't happen. It was done by John Chapman. And now as this is coming more and more to light, this came to light basically because of the Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington, Texas, is opening in 25 days. And magically, Brett Sobieski, the Navy SEAL, is on the board for that museum. And his Medal of Honor main exhibit in the first 200 exhibits is being portrayed, where John Chapman is stuck in the back. And John was actually the real hero. And I got involved with this a few months back. I'm like most people, you're just an average citizen, but I have connections to some of the guys out at Fort Bragg. And when it was brought to my attention, Kim, like you and I are both good patriots, you start delving into this and you see kind of some of the politics that go on behind these things, and how the Naval Defense Department kind of tried to smother up what John Chapman did and then elevate one of their guys. And it's all because of a bad mission that was done by the Naval Defense Department on Tucker Gar, and they had to save face. Unfortunately, that's what it looks like to everyone. You see it on all the blogs, you see it on all the, now the major news carriers are carrying it now. Congressman Anna Paulina Luna is now opening an investigation to find out why this happened, and why one guy was able to take somebody else's actions and put him into a report for himself. So there's a lot of moving parts going on with this right now. And the thing is it's been brought to light now because of the Predator footage. And after 15 years, John Chapman is hopefully going to get the recognition that man deserves.
Well, it's a riveting story. And again, I've been on a learning curve on all of this. And the Medal of Honor, well, let's go to break. I'm talking with Tom Tarver, and he is really a patriot. He is a citizen, and this story is just really important to him. And I wasn't even really aware of this until he brought it to my attention. And so we thought it was important that you all know about this as well. An industry that we are seeing a lot of consolidation in is the beef industry. And beef is such a great protein source. And I tell you, I'm so pleased to have Lavaca Meat Company as a sponsor. They are located at the corner of Main and Nevada in Old Littleton. They're a premium product, great hamburger, great steaks, and it truly is that steakhouse experience at home. We'll be right back with Tom Tarver.
Do you crave a mouthwatering steak or juicy hamburger? It's time to head over to Lavaca Meat Company and fire up the barbecue. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. Lavaca Meat Company is located in the historic Coors Building at the corner of Main and Nevada in downtown Littleton. Lavaca cuts of meat are aged 21 days, which provides one of the best steaks you have ever tasted. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit Lavaca in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Bozen Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help.
Bozen Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Bozen Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Bozen Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I cannot believe that March is right around the corner. March 15th is right around the corner. That is the day that Paula Sarles, president of the USMC Memorial Foundation, will climb 426 steps out at Red Rocks in honor of the Marines' birthday, the Iwo Jima veterans up with Cooper's troopers that they're going to turn 100. In fact, Jack Thurman, who was one of them, he was wanting to make it to 100. He was just about 4 months short of that. He just passed on. And so last Sunday on America's Veteran Stories, we broadcast an interview that I did with him. And that will rebroadcast this Sunday, 10 to 11 at night on all the KLZ 560 platforms. But Paula is going to be doing that for her 76th birthday. It's a great, fun way to support the USMC Memorial Foundation and their work to raise the money for the remodel of the Marine Memorial. And so you can pledge a dime, a quarter, a dollar, whatever you want, and do that by going to USMC Memorial Foundation for Paula Sarles Climate Challenge, or excuse me, her climbing challenge. There we go. So Tom Tarver is on the line. And Tom, before we get back into this conversation regarding John Chapman, again, just let people know that you're going to be rolling out the information for your TAPS event this summer. I love it that people are hearing it first on my show. But again, just to set that up for people.
You bet. Hot off the press, Kim. July 5th, Colorado Springs, at the Norris Penrose Event Center, which is right next to the rodeo grounds for the Pikes Peak or Bus Rodeo. We have our Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors dinner show, Colorado Celebrity Classic, where we bring in songwriters and country stars from Nashville, and we put on an intimate dinner show with a prime rib dinner served by the Coors Cowboy Club of Amarillo, Texas. And Pete Coors is there out serving. You'll see Jake Jabs there, a lot of celebrities, local celebrities. And we're there to raise money for a great charity and a great cause, is to look after the family members of those who have died in service to the country.
And for more information, where can people go?
It's easy. You go to TAPS.org. TAPS.org/Colorado. You will click on the Colorado Springs link, and it'll take you right to the page, and you can sign up. Tickets are as low as $300 for dinner and a show. You can't beat that. You can't go to Elway's and get away with that. You're going to have a heck of a dinner and a heck of a dinner show, and you're going to be supporting a great, great cause, a 4-star rated charity. And Bonnie Carroll has been at this since 1994, when she lost her husband in a plane crash in Alaska.
So, and again, a great cause, and thanks for the work that you do on that. Okay, John Chapman, Medal of Honor recipient. And the Medal of Honor is a big deal, and the reason is because it's the highest award that can be given, a military award that can be given in America. And there's really stringent criteria, and that is that there has to be written recommendations for it. You have to have two eyewitness accounts. And so John Chapman is very unique because he is the first time, as you mentioned, that a Medal of Honor recipient, that it was verified via technology. And it was, I think, a drone that was that filmed everything. And you and I talked about it, and you're trying to get me really ready for this interview. And Tom, I tell these stories. I have these Medal of Honor recipients. I have these veterans on a regular basis. I listen to their stories. but it's very difficult for me to watch. Saving Private Ryan, when I was with the guys in Normandy, Frank DeVita, who was on the Higgins boats, he was a Higgins boat operator.
Yep.
He said that that's probably the closest that he's ever seen of a depiction of what happened. And I have a really hard time watching all that. I want the stories out there, but I have a really hard time. And you said, Kim, you can just watch the drone footage and you can see what happened on that mountaintop. And Tom, I tried, but I couldn't because I knew what happened. So let's tell people what happened.
Okay. Well, and let me try to set this up. This is a case much like you're familiar with Flags of Our Fathers, correct? The
mm-hmm.
movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how that movie, and through some diligence and some work after 40, 50 years, people identified the wrong people that stood up the flag on top of Iwo Jima. They ended up changing out several of the people. Two of the guys that were running around during as you saw them in the movie, Rene Gagnon and John Bradley, ultimately were not in the second photo. There was Hank Hansen and I can't remember his name, Strank. So you saw that after the movie came out, people did some forensic work into something, and they righted something that had been wrong for 50 years. And the names are now realigned with the proper people that stood up the flag at Iwo Jima. But it sat that way for a long time. But those guys went around and did their duty. And I think you see a lot of that case in point for this, that you had a really bad mission on Takar Gar during the Battle of Anaconda, and the Navy SEALs were to take the top of Takar Gar for an observation and position to call in airstrikes. So they were tasked with taking Takar Gar. Their helicopter was late taking off. I'm just like you, Kim. I'm an average guy. I started doing my research into this when it was brought to my attention, and you learn the small things and the nuances of what set many things into a bad situation, where their helicopter was late taking off and they were trying to get up there in the early hours of the morning or early evening, 8, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. They ended up landing on the mountain at 2 o'clock because their helicopter was delayed. So they had to fly farther up the mountain to get to their objective on the top of the hill. So they flew up, and what happened was they got into a fight with a helicopter being in a precarious position. And at that point, that helicopter took some RPG hits and heavy gunfire and anti-aircraft fire. And unfortunately, Navy SEAL Roberts was dropped out the back of the helicopter into the snow, and the helicopter was severely disabled. It had to fly down. It crash landed at the bottom of the hill about 6 miles away, and the guy did a controlled landing. There's some heroic stuff that went on with just keeping that helicopter from crashing and killing everyone on board. At that point, Smolensky and his men waited for another helicopter to show up, and they remobilized into another helicopter and went back up there to go get Navy SEAL Roberts. And when they got up there, they dismounted the helicopter, and they got into an unbelievable firefight. And, you know, you don't diminish the service of anybody that's up there, anybody that serves. Those guys are fighting in all directions. And if you watch the IR footage, and I will tell people, if you're sitting there and you'd like to know about this, you can go to change.org and go to John Chapman, pull up the petition. And after you watch the video and read the testimonies that are in there, you can sign the petition to help John's case and help his family. But the firefight breaks out, and John Chapman is the one that ends up storming the first bunker. There are two bunkers and a rock outcropping on this particular event. And John is the one that leads the way. And the IR footage after 15 years confirms what actually happened on that hill. And John was put in for a Medal of Honor after the event. Three of the Navy SEALs testified on his behalf via emails. They recanted 10, 12 years later because they wouldn't sign their forms, but they did sign them for Brett Smolensky. So there's some problems with all that, you know, John kind of got pushed to the side because the Navy had a bad mission. They had to look good. They had to find their hero. And those guys up there are all heroes. But the Medal of Honor goes to John Chapman, and when you see the testimony that come out of the Medal of Honor winner, Brett Zablisky, he was using John Chapman's testimony, and that's a travesty, Kim. And you know, you look into the operations community and you watch the some of the blogs and some of the videos and some of the testimony of these other Delta guys and people that listen to the event, guys that were actual operators at one time, they're appalled by what's happened with this.
So John Chapman did receive the Medal of Honor. He was killed on that mountaintop in Afghanistan.
And, he was. That's correct.
And I think he left a wife and one or two little children, I think, as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
I can't.
Two daughters, yes.
So. Two little kids, okay. And so we take so for granted everything that we're doing. So steps forward, duty for our country, and not looking at any politics on the wars or anything. We're looking at an individual. He did receive the Medal of Honor, so that was the right thing that happened. But
yes, he received it after Zablisky got his. He got his secondary, and I think that's because they finally knew that there's a wrong here. Okay, you can read. You can go to Navy.mil and read the citation for Zablisky, and you can see what's happened there. And when the Predator footage came out finally after 15 years, and the cigarette that comes out, the signal communications, and they were to forensically match those, you can see that John Chapman is. And when you watch the IR Predator footage, and hopefully we can hear a little bit of the tape, the audio here coming up.
Okay.
And you can see how they've taken it apart, and they forensic the way it went down, and how John Chapman got into that first bunker. He killed the enemy combatants in there. Zablisky got in there with him, but John stepped out of the bunker to go ahead and engage another bunker, and he was shot. He was shot twice, and he went down, but he was under cover and concealment. Zablisky retreated back behind a rock outcropping. They call it the rock, and they got up on top, and the SEALs opened up with their weapons, but they were outnumbered. It's hard to say what the numbers were, but you can see that they're from the Predator footage. You can see the one of the Navy SEALs with his M60, and you can see the report of the machine gun kicking off, and then you see an explosion in front of him, and he goes down the back of the rock. And so Zablisky, in a defensive move, he comes down around the back, and he gets his guys together. He's doing what he needs to do, and he gets his guys together, and they slide down the hill around the bunker where Chapman is. They go past Navy SEAL Roberts's body, which is unfortunate. He'd already been killed and tortured. It's a terrible story when you get into what happened to him. But they slid down the hill, and they ended up being a couple hundred meters down the mountain. While John Chapman was there, he got up after a brief period of time and started reengaging targets and started calling close air support in. Now, he couldn't hear people. Apparently, they were trying to talk back to him, but I don't think he could hear. But he was up out of that bunker again, fighting by himself. Everybody else was down the hill. There is another quick reaction force coming up the hill to help them, and John sees that helicopter coming. Now, this guy's been mortally wounded already at this point. He's going to die anyway. He gets out of the bunker to get in the line of fire so that that helicopter can put down and let those guys get out of that helicopter. And during that next fight, he's fighting with these guys. He's had two physical engagements, hand-to-hand combat with guys. And then he's out of that bunker fighting to make sure that helicopter lands. And that helicopter takes heavy fire and it crash lands. But those guys all got out, but there were several people killed there. And at the end, there were seven people killed in this entire engagement. But the quick reaction forces all got up there and finally conquered the hill. But without John's actions, he was actually put in citation-wise twice for two medals of honor.
Wow. Okay, Tom, let's go to break. I'm talking with Tom Tarver. And Tom, I think before we go to break, though, is the reason that I think you're so fervent about people knowing about this is because of it sounds to me like Zablisky, or it sounds like they certainly were heroic in many things as well. It's really people taking credit for something that they didn't do. That's the thing that you're concerned about, right?
Yeah, and I think it after I've started watching some of the Green Beret blogs and the Delta blogs, And some of the Air Force guys are such professionals. They don't really talk about this. This was brought to me by someone very close to me. And once you look at it, Kim, it kind of breaks your heart to see politics. And, you know, you start to find out the seedy side of what goes on with some of this stuff and how, you know, this guy was cheated for a long time. And he's the real Medal of Honor winner on that hill. And and then it all started with the museum in Texas where they wanted to put one guy, Sublinsky, in the main exhibits downstairs in the Medal of Honor Museum in Texas. And strangely, he's on the board there. And I've noticed some changes here, but I know you need to go to break. We can get to that later.
Okay, sounds great. I'm talking with Tom Tarver, a super interesting conversation about Medal of Honor recipient John Chapman. He died during that battle, leaving his wife and two little daughters. I did have the great honor to interview his sister, who I haven't talked with her for a couple of years. She was up in Wyoming, but we did that interview for America's Veteran Stories. And that was, again, my journey as I'm learning all of these different things. And I hopefully you're all learning as well. And we get to do this because of our sponsors. And one of those is Lauren Levy for Everything Mortgages. He can help you in 49 of the 50 states, just not New York.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range is excited to announce its new partnership and on-site training opportunity coming soon. Training in firearm safety for in-home or self-defense is difficult to do in a practical way. But Franktown, in partnership with Colorado CQB, is opening an indoor 360-degree shoot house that will bring you closer to reality than anything you've ever seen. Practice interactive scenarios for defense to ensure you and your family are safe, and you can shoot confidently. You'll benefit from experienced staff and trainers, including law enforcement and military backgrounds. Franktown's new shoot house opens in February, and they invite the public to come out to talk to them about it now and be ready for the grand opening. For safe and simulated training opportunities open to all levels of experience, come to Franktown Firearms, where friends are made. Learn more about Franktown Firearms on the KLZRadio.com advertisers page, where you can ask any questions you might have.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I'm talking with concerned citizen, patriot, Tom Tarver, regarding the story of John Chapman, his Medal of Honor, kind of being put to the back at this of this new museum that is down in Arlington, Texas. So let's set this up just a little bit on these museums. The official Medal of Honor Museum is in South Carolina. However, this new one that is going to open, you said, in 25 days in Arlington, Texas, apparently a cowboy, Dallas Cowboys, yeah, Jerry Jones, has financed this. My understanding is it's $300 million that's been put into this. And people like to hang around Medal of Honor recipients because they're heroes. And yet what I have seen with the Medal of Honor recipients that I've I've met, and their stories with the beautiful work that's being done at the Center for American Values down in Pueblo, because Pueblo, Tom, is known as the home of heroes because there's four Medal of Honor recipients that grew up there. And so the museum there, or it's not a museum, the Center for American Values honors our Medal of Honor recipients, or many of them, with their portraits of valor and their on values presentations and their educational programs. But they're not financed with huge money or huge government money. It's been founded by Drew Dix and Brad Padula. So that I want to explain that so people don't get mixed up. The official museum is in South Carolina. You got the Jerry Jones thing going on in Arlington. And then the Center for American Values is really honoring many of our Medal of Honor recipients. So I wanted to clarify that for people.
You bet.
So with that, Joe, Tom wanted us to listen to the first 2 minutes. And I did listen to that whole YouTube that you sent over, Tom. So I was working on my preparation. But let's play this 2-minute clip, okay?
Perfect.
In the darkness.
Joe, you know what? I can't hear it. So
this
hit that
bunker will
so
come to be known as Bunker Number 1. To the left of the tree and Bunker 1 is another gray mass. This is a rock outcropping that came to be called the Boulder. Between Bunker 1 and this boulder can be seen the body of slain SEAL Neil Roberts, the man Chapman and the others are attempting to recover. Chapman, still alone and closest to the enemy, pauses to engage targets as his team leader follows him, but never actually catches up with him. Chapman, on his own, now makes the decision to charge directly into the enemy bunker, despite withering point-blank fire. Chapman, now literally on top of the enemy, engages the two combatants and kills them, saving the lives of the remaining SEALs. He does this from a distance of no more than 10 feet. These actions, by themselves, earned him his first Medal of Honor. He then climbs into and takes control of the bunker. Having cleared the immediate threat, Chapman is then joined by his team leader in Bunker 1. You can then see Chapman and his team leader engaging the next bunker, known as Bunker 2, which is situated to the left edge of the screen. This bunker, manned by a handful of Chechen and Uzbek fighters, also contains a heavy PKM machine gun, hand grenades, and rocket-propelled grenades. John Chapman is shot twice at this time in the torso and collapses, incapacitated.
Okay. Tom, where can people get this whole video?
Okay. The easiest thing for everyone to do, I would direct everybody, is to go to change.org, and you can just Google change.org John Chapman. You'll pull up his page. You will see the citation for his Medal of Honor. You will watch the IR footage. You can also just Google John Chapman IR footage, but I'd urge people to go to change.org and sign the petition. It just helps tremendously for the family and lends credence to making sure this guy is recognized for his heroic actions on that day. So it's the easiest place for them to go. It's 9 minutes and 40 seconds if you want to watch it. There are some forensic breakdowns online now that other operators have built that you can watch from a more mechanical standpoint to see how the helicopters, where they landed on the snow, how they engaged their targets. You know, some of the other guys that had to come up from way down from the bottom of the hill, they had to hike up an incredible hike to engage in the fight. It's just a story of so many great people, and it's frankly the best of America. And you know, you don't denigrate those SEALs. Those guys are up there. They're fighting for their lives. Several guys are wounded. Several are killed. There's Air Force guys killed. You know, and you just see the finest of America there, and you just have one thing here that is a little off kilter, and it needs to be corrected. And I will tell you, Kim, I opened up the website for the museum this morning, and strangely enough, John Chapman is now posted on the front page of the website. And so I think what's happening nationwide, because you've seen this crop up in Stars and Stripes now, Newsweek. I got a feedback from Fox and Friends. They're looking into it now. 60 Minutes, task and purpose, Air Force times. Everybody is now, this is much like I talked about with Flags of Our Fathers. It's finally coming to correction after 15 or 16 years. And frankly, the Naval Department's going to have to man up and address this and make sure that it's right, because it damages the Navy SEAL brand if you're engaged in this kind of malfeasance. And a lot of that happened too with Lone Survivor, with Marcus Luttrell, and the Navy got involved in that, and everybody understands that story. And you see some, you know, and the media is part of the military; it always has been. But you know, you got to do the right thing. There's times when you just have to dust yourself off, and the Navy's got to dust itself off and do the right thing. This is the first guy in 20 years in the Air Force to get a Medal of Honor, and it doesn't need to be denigrated. It needs to be corrected, and they need to be proud of that teammate they had with him. At that day up there, you might be a part of a different branch. Those guys always make fun of the Air Force guys, saying all they do is talk Air Force, but they're all Americans, they're all in uniform, and they're fighting side by side. And to let the political side of this get in the way of something, and it tarnishes the Navy SEAL, and that's a terrible thing. We have to fix that. And I think you're seeing enough groundswell around the country to make this right, that hopefully we'll get it corrected for this great warrior.
Well, and Tom, you've been just really fervent in communicating with me on this, because it's something you just, I think bottom line is, you just want to make sure that a wrong is being righted, right? You want it to be corrected. And that is regarding this Medal of Honor Museum that is down in Arlington. You just want to make sure that gets corrected, right?
That is absolutely correct, Kim.
Okay, well, we've got really just a little bit more time left on this. And so, again, your call to action for people, again, let people know what to do exactly. And
there's a couple things they can do, Kim. It's easy. They can email. They can go to mohmuseum.org. They can email, send an email of concern to that museum. I'm sure that they're trying, from the change on the website right now, they're probably addressing this now. And a lot of people like me wouldn't have known the difference until you see the historical backside of this. And then, you know, average people could look at this and say, this is wrong. I've been watching the Delta guys and a lot of the old veterans that are operators. And frankly, I'm fortunate to know some of the operators very closely, and you know, across all branches, even many of the Navy SEALs are upset over this. This is a wrong that needs to be righted. So they can go to the Medal of Honor Museum, mohmuseum.org, send them an email, go to the change.org, John Chapman site, and read the citations for him and sign the petition, and just help out this great warrior. I think, you know, this is posthumous for him, but it's for his family and it's for his legacy and his children.
So, Tom Tarver, thank you so much, and thank you for caring about this, and thank you for coming on and sharing this. It is a very important story, and thank you. I just really appreciate it.
You bet. We'll see you at TAPS on July 5.
Okay, sounds great. And our quote for the end of the show is from John Locke, who said this: all mankind being all equal and independent, no one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
To live a free life, to live in freedom. Talking about freedom, I'm talking about freedom. I will fight for the right to live in freedom.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.